I was tempted this morning, or this weekend, I should say, to have a video play before or after the sermon. I've taken the liberty to use a song first released in 1983, the title of which is "I Believe in You and Me." Song was sung by the Four Tops. It debuted on the R&B soul genre and was written by Sandy Linzer and David Wolfert in 1982. It seemed to have been a love song that expressed the salvific tones that redefined how finding love can change a life, make someone believe in things, sometimes some things that are lost, and transform persons without faith to people with faith. This song enticed the listener to extract a deeper meaning through the words, the arrangement of notes, and so on. In 1996, the song was re-released by Whitney Houston on the soundtrack for the movie The Preacher's Wife. That spoke directly to this idea of the Christian merit of this song, "I Believe." I believe in you and me. What fascinated me about this song, though, was not the fact that it stretches us to think about our feelings of love for someone when there was, or sometimes there is, very little or no love. Instead, the song brought me into a moment of reflection that spoke to the complex codifiers in the language of Christian salvation. It is this deep theological or deeper theological construct of love and how words of love in Christ brings people to a place of reverence and praise when all the chips are down that jolted me to share this narrative of Christ's love to you. My story about this sermon actually began on Monday, August 31st, 2015. It was the first day of classes in my final year at Union Theological Seminary. And on that morning, I woke up at around 5 a.m. excited to enter into this final year. I was praising God that morning, I remember. But for some reason, I'd heard previously, the melody of this song stuck in my head. "I believe in you and me. I believe in you and me." It stuck in my head. Unlike Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops, who I think may have been singing definitely this ballad for or with a loved one in mind, I felt something totally different. I wasn't thinking about love of a partner, love of a friend, family member, or anything like that. I wasn't thinking about any of those things. What I was thinking about is the deep love that I felt for Jesus Christ. That's what moved me that morning. A love that allowed me to explore a relationship with God that I once thought impossible. It was through this song that I began to search my own relationship with God, reflecting on how that relationship had grown to transform me, to purify me, to ignite and lift me up when I was at my lowest ebb. The song forced me to think about what it means to tear down and rebuild personally, and what it means to transform systems that oppress into systems that uplift. What it means to ask hard questions of our emotions and how those questions can move us to do things in our lives and that brings glory to God, glory to humanity, and glory to this planet that we live on. A feeling of excitement came over me that morning. I can remember. A feeling of being filled with the love of God and knowledge of Jesus Christ sacrificed for me as an act of love, of caring, and of tenderness to the world. This song, "I Believe in You and Me," speaks to life's experiences. It takes us through the emotional twists and turns. It teases us to consider the testimonies of God's presence in our lives. It asks us to recognize and be willing to support those around us. It does that in the love of family, friends, mentors that foster us to express love in ways that are wholesome, just, and energy-giving to others. My response is, yes, Lord, I believe in you and me. I believe that we will be in love eternally. Well, as far as I can see, you will always be the one for me. Oh, yes, you will. Then there was that time when I lost all belief in myself, my life, and what it meant to find freedom in my own personhood. Have you been there? Have you been there? Has that ever happened to you, where the dreams of life are dashed away? What you thought possible when you were younger now seems impossible. What you thought would be your life now merely a glimmer, a distant idea that's so far off, never to be attained. Have you been there? And then if we consider the externalities or the global community, we think about what's happening in the world today. Have you heard the despair of those people in Syria and in Iraq suffering from persecution because of their faith? And the senseless loss of life this past week at Texas. Or in the racially charged events that beset us in Charlottesville, Virginia, in August of this year. In light of those types of events and many, many more, you just open the front page of the newspaper, you listen to CNN, you listen to Fox News, those who do. In light of these events, I'm forced to confront the tough question. Where is God? Is there a way we can see truth, justice, and have really an equal opportunity to experience life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as our forefathers of this great nation penned at its founding? These personal and global examples of despair lead us to think that belief in God does not make any sense. Absolutely not. The personal trials that we go through, the national calamities that we see, the global injustices serve only to turn individuals away from the truth of who God is and who Christ is in our lives. But is that really where we want to be? Is that what we want to position ourselves in? Do we want to stay away from what we know to be truth of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, Paul explains that the manifestations of the Spirit of God comes in many, many different ways. But it all comes from the same Spirit. This truth is so hard to understand or even to see in the brokenness of our societies. However, the reality is that the growth of the human race has persisted through good times and bad times, through travesty and joy, through anguish and euphoria. That must mean there's something else that we need to believe in, something we can do that makes that belief real, something greater than self, greater than system, greater than what we can see, feel, touch, taste. We must dare to dream beyond our faculties and believe in a power greater than ourselves. That's what we must do. Martin Luther King Jr., in that timeless speech delivered August 28, 1963, in Lincoln Memorial, Washington, paraphrased Isaiah 40, verse 4 to 5, and Ecclesiastes 7:13, saying, "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and every mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." Amen. Reverend Dr. King's speech spoke to that innate and unyielding power within the human spirit to go beyond the present circumstances, daring to create an idea, an ideal that transcends time and space. So yes, Lord, I believe in dreams again. I believe that God's love will never end. And like the rivers find the sea, I was lost. Now I'm free. Hallelujah. Why? Because I believe in you and me. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, the writer reminds us of a divine promise that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But what does that mean when we see devastation, depression, and disease in every corner of the planet? How are we really to believe in God's grace when there is only despair for people in systems rigged to oppress those without means? So I was born in Glasgow, Scotland, but grew up in Jamaica. And in Jamaica, there's a reggae artist, a DJ artist. His name is Carlton Ellington Grant. His stage name is Spraga Benz. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Spraga Benz, that's his name. That's his stage name. A Rastafarian brother who released a song around 1995. That song was entitled "How Long." It was a song that spoke to the abuse of poor people, and particularly youths, kids, by politicians and people in seats of power. He asked the question, "How long do you think you're going to use the poor youths and lead them astray?" He's asking the politicians. He says they are the men and the women of tomorrow, the doctors and the nurses that are today. How long are you going to use the youths to do your criminal acts? You know, that must stop, he says. Spraga Benz says that must stop because you take advantage of the youth, and when they're caught, you just turn your back. The stanza speaks of the wanton abuse of power against people. But it goes on to do something else. Sprague-Benz does something else. He's speaking to those outcasts, those youth. He says to them that even though you might be outcasts in this society, you are gaining strength. How are you gaining strength? You're gaining strength through all the images that you see around you who are doing well, who are being lifted up. We see these images in Barack Obama, I guess. We see these images in Martin Luther, I guess. I see these images in my mom. I see there are people around who show us the way. And a lot of these people have somehow through the years imbibed the Spirit of God and had that same Spirit exude to each and every one that they touch. Those who have little are able to see those or see through the eyes of those what is possible. And that hope is a responsibility that we all must share as family, as community, as a town, a city, a state, a country. Sprague-Benz gave a message of hope, providing a recognition of the promises that are beyond the immediacy of your circumstances and of your experiences. But through the examples of those in the midst of us who have overcome, that's what he did. It is a promise from a greater force. So yes, Lord, yes. I will never leave you. I will never leave your side. I will never hurt your pride. When all the chips are down, I know you will be around. I will always be around. The knowledge that even in the most difficult of times, God is with us is, I really believe, one of the greatest gifts we could receive. It is about trust. And that is how our faith can truly be built. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and verse 8, we read, "Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. God will not fail you or forsake you. It is the Lord who goes before you." God will be with you. God will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In these verses, we find Moses speaking to the Israelites and to Joshua. It's interesting what's going on here. Moses is repeating God's assurance of being with them. This assurance is coming, listen to me now, this assurance is coming as Moses begins the transition of leadership. Hallelujah. He's transitioning from him being the leader to Joshua being the leader. And he's saying to the people, "We need not fear. We need not fear. We can trust in the Spirit of God as we move from one place to another. God will go before you to clear a path, and it is this assurance that will take us through the challenges ahead. And though it may be foolish to others, yes, Lord, maybe I'm a fool to feel the way I do, but I will play the fool forever. I will play the fool forever just to be with you, Lord, forever. Hallelujah. How God enters our lives is a miracle in and of itself. While we see around us much hurt and much pain, we also see the beauty of God's earth. We see it in the colors of nature. We see it in the birth of new life. We see it in journey. We see it in the animals, the birds, the fishes. We see God's miracles in the Sahara Desert, in Antarctica. We see it in the Blue Mountains of my home country, Jamaica. But what is a true miracle from God is the feeling of love we can get for all those aspects of life and with and for each other. Love is a miracle. It can make our hearts skip up. You remember that? You remember when you were in love the first time? Oh, don't you remember? It makes your heart skip a beat. Yeah. Your pulse starts to race. Oh, man. There she comes. Oh. It can make us calm. Sometimes it makes us anxious. It makes us happy sometimes, you know. Gives us joy, you know, love. Gives us peace. Love can give us tears of joy too, right? It can free us from past emotional hurts too. It can heal us physically. You know, sometimes people who hold things, you know, those hurts, you know, you just let it go one day. You say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Oh, man, it just release. There's a release that takes place. So, yes, Lord, yes. I believe in miracles, and love is a miracle, right? Yes. And, Lord, you're a dream come true. I was lost. Now I'm free. I believe in you and me. It is in this action, these actions, God's grace, God's mercy, that God is continuously calling us and showing us the right path to take for ourselves and for the world. We hold dear, and even when we think we are lost, there is still a path. There is still a path to love, to freedom, to joy, and to hope. Our job is simply, this is a simple job. Listen and respond to what God is calling you to do. So back in August 31st, 2015, this was kind of the message that was bubbling up inside of me. It was a message of God's continuing and unabated love for me. For me. Hallelujah. Now for us. When there appeared to be an insurmountable and impossible task or mountain in front of us. Yes, I could love. God was there. Today the message is a little different though. But no less important. For me today, the song, I Believe in You and Me, reminds me of the joys of my mom. The joy she brought me when she was alive. Think about her jerk chicken. Yeah. 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 I think about her telling me all kinds of stuff. Yeah, you can do it, Gregory. You can do it. It reminds me that time can also heal wounds. It reminds me that change towards a better future is actually in the here and in the now. God's love is in action on a day-to-day basis in our lives. For me, I fight climate change. That's my act of love. Some people support education reform. That's another act of God's love. To break down race and gender injustices. Hey, come on now. That's an act of God's love. We see God's handiwork in the three-year partnership between, I like soccer. You like soccer? I love soccer. I'm a soccer guy. But the English Soccer Premier League partnered up with the Stonewall Global Diversity Champions Program to encourage gay and lesbian and transgender people to remain in sport. Some people don't do that, can't go there. But I think that's God's love. That's what I think. I see God's love made manifest in Andrea Jenkins being elected to the Minneapolis City Council. I see that. It's interesting. Minneapolis was where I spent a number of years with my parents growing up. And I'll tell you something, that city didn't do me well. But I see a shift. I see a change now. I see it in the election of Joyce Craig, the first woman in Manchester, New Hampshire. New Hampshire's 266-year history to serve as mayor. I see God being present there. I see God's love being expressed in the election of the first Sikh American, Ravinder Bali, as a mayor in New Jersey. This is God. These are important steps. In a day where we hear, or in a time where we hear about immigration issues, we have a Muslim and Islamophobia. We have a Sikh American becoming mayor. We see it in Kathy Tran, a former Vietnamese refugee, becoming the first Asian American woman to join Virginia's House of Delegates. I see God in that. We see it in Laura Curran, the first female county executive for New York's Nassau County. We see God there. We see God responding in New York's Department of Education, who this Wednesday admitted that there were 48,000 students with special needs that they did not take care of. I see God there. I see God working in there. I see the work of climate activists, Malia Brown and Stuart Pravda, right here in Park Slope. I see God working there. I see God working in the arrival of the Eritrean refugees, a mother and her daughter, who now live in Brooklyn, despite the issues of immigration reform. I mean, it's a little thing. These are little tiny drops. Little things. But in these little things, we see God actually working in our lives. Amen? So yes, Lord, I know that I was lost. Now I'm free. I believe in you and me. Amen.